We're looking at the book of Ruth. It's a harvest story, and it's a harvest story that shows us the kindness of the Lord and the providence of God. And there's a little bit of background. What do we know about the book of Ruth? Set in the time of Judges. And if you remember, when we went through the book of Judges, it's a book of ups and downs. And there's some quite horrible things that happen in the time of Judges. And if you've got your Bibles open, all that you need to know pretty much about Judges is in that last verse of the book of Judges. It's in verse 25 there. It says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that can be good, can't it? And it can be bad. So the book of Ruth, the time of the judges was about a 200-year period between 1250 to 1050 BC. And for the book of Ruth itself, the authorship is unknown. We don't really know who wrote it, and we don't really know exactly when it was written. So what happens in the book of Ruth? Well, if you look in that chapter 1, we start off in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. And there's a family. A man called Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they were called Ephrathites. And Ephrath is just another name for Bethlehem. And what happens is there's a famine. The crops fail. And so Elimelech and Naomi decide to emigrate. They become migrants. That's quite topical these days, isn't it? I'm not going to have a political sermon here today. But they migrate to the neighbouring country of Moab. And if you can look on the screen, it's not very clear, but basically the Mediterranean Sea on the right, you've got Israel, which is the sort of greenish big blob and the sort of slightly pinky blob to the bottom. Then you've got the Dead Sea, and Moab is on the other side of the Dead Sea from Israel. And Moab would have been an unfriendly and unwelcoming neighbour. There was a bit of history in the past. Moab and Israel had spent a little bit of time at war, and you can go back and look at that in the Judges. So there's been some difficulties. So this migration wasn't a happy thing to do, but there is a little bit of happiness in there. The boys meet some girls. They're Moabite girls called Ruth and Orpah. Ruth and Orpah. And the marriage bells ring out, and the two boys marry these two girls. That's all good, isn't it? But unfortunately, that's not the end of the story. Because Elimelech dies, and then Chilion dies, and then Mahlon dies. And all that are left, in terms of who came from Israel, is Naomi. And she has her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. So she says to herself, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And Naomi decides to go back to Israel. Now, we're looking in chapter 1 here. And that gives the girls, and Naomi says, you girls don't need to come back. You can go back to your own people and your own gods. And Orpah makes that decision. She decides to go back to her own people and her own gods. And Ruth has a big decision to make. Is she going to go to Israel with Naomi? Or is she going to go back to Moab with her own people? And we don't know any of the family stories there, do we? We don't know whether Ruth's family had possibly rejected her for marrying a foreigner. For marrying someone from a different religion, because the Moabites have their own gods. So here's the choice that Ruth had to make. Would she go back to Israel with Naomi? Would she keep her own god, the gods of the Moabites? Or would she choose Naomi's god, the god of Israel? Or would she go with Orpah and go back to Moab and follow Orpah's gods, the gods of Moab, the terrible god Chemosh, to whom human sacrifices were made? And we can read what happens in verse 16. It's a very famous passage. It's one of the lovely passages that often gets quotes. It says, "Entreat me not to leave you," this is Ruth speaking, "or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." It's their words of total commitment, aren't they? Of saying, "I'm coming with you, Naomi, but more than that, I'm going to follow the God of Israel. Your God is going to be my God. I don't want to follow the gods of Moab anymore, the Chemosh. I want to follow the God of Israel." She'd seen something in Naomi. She heard something from Naomi that told her something special about the God of Israel. She wanted the God of Israel to be her God. Ruth became a believer. Ruth became a believer. And it was a big decision. It's a big decision. And it's something that, in a sense, many of us sitting in church today will know about. We'll know that there was a time in our lives when we had to make a big decision. Come to the crunch. Am I going to follow the world's ways, my way? Or am I going to become a Christian and follow Jesus? And if you haven't made that decision today, then perhaps you need to think, like Ruth, about who you will follow. Who you will follow. It makes a big difference. But you know, for Naomi, there was an emptiness. And so she comes back to her hometown, Bethlehem. And people remember her. And they're excited, it says in verse 19. "Is this Naomi?" She'd left and she had a husband and she had two sons. Now she's coming back. In a sense, she's alone. She's brought along just this one daughter-in-law. And Naomi says this, "Do not call me Naomi." Naomi means pleasant. We might think of it as meaning blessed. "Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." So when Ruth and Naomi came home, what did they come home to? They came home to bitterness. That was what was in Naomi's heart. And they came home to poverty. They'd left their land. We don't know what state that land was in. They got no form of support. And this is why we see into the next chapter what they had to do. Because they didn't have a man to support them. Someone to work the land. What were they going to do? They were poor. So bitterness and poverty. And you know, there's also grief, isn't there? You know, Naomi, and we've talked about bitterness, but her husband had been taken away. Her two sons had been taken away. And I think we very often, in this story, we very often skip over those bits. And it does bring it out to us. You know, there was grief and there was loneliness for Naomi. And there were questions. Why did this God I serve, why has this happened? Why has it ended up like this? God has dealt with me very bitterly. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. It's a sad story, isn't it? A sad story, but things are going to change. And what we see in the chapter that we read was, in a sense, the kindness of the Lord. The kindness of the Lord, because the Lord made provision for those who are poor. So if you look at Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22, it says this, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." In Deuteronomy it says, chapter 24, verse 19, "When you reap your harvest in the field and forget a sheaf in the field, You shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. You see, Israeli farmers were supposed to be inefficient. They were supposed to leave those edges and those corners. They were supposed to glean once, but all the bits that were left, they didn't go back and scour the land. They left it for the poor. And so what we see in chapter 2 is Ruth saying, I'm going to go in the fields and glean. It was the time of the barley harvest. Now, the barley harvest is about April in Israel. So Ruth goes into the field. She goes into the field. And what we see there, this is part of the storyteller's art, isn't it? Did you see how chapter 2 started off? It says this, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So the storyteller has just planted that in at the beginning of the chapter. And then we sort of leave Boaz. It's just there for us to think something is going to happen there. Ruth said, I'm going to go into the fields and I'm going to glean. And do you see what it says? It just so happened. Or as it turned out, it says in some versions, doesn't it? And you know, when the Bible says that, what it really means, what it's expecting us to think is, God's done this. God's hand is in this. Things don't just turn out. Things don't just do as it happened. This is God at work. So what have we got? We've got Boaz and the providence of God. What do we learn about Boaz as we go through this chapter? Well, we're told he's a man of great wealth. And he's a relation of Elimelech. And he's a confident believer. Did you see that? He goes into his field. And what does he say? What does he say? Verse 4. Walks into his field and says, the Lord be with you. And all the reapers answer him, the Lord bless you. You know, if you've ever been to one of those churches that have a liturgy like the Church of England, they actually have those words as part of the liturgy. They have the vicar going, the Lord be with you, and the congregation saying back, and also with you, or the Lord bless you. But Boaz isn't a priest. He isn't a vicar. He's just a man going into his field. Wouldn't it be amazing if your boss came in the morning and said, the Lord be with you? And we all shouted back, the Lord bless you. And what a thing that would be, wouldn't it? To live in a society like that. It's almost like a little picture of God's blessing in God's land amongst God's people. And that's what we're given here. A confident believer. He's a considerate and caring person, isn't he? Because he sees Ruth and he asks who she is. And then he links that with the story that he's already been told about Naomi and Ruth coming back to Bethlehem. And he instructs his harvesters. He says, just pull out a few of the stalks and leave them in her path. And then what does he do? He meets Ruth. He's a praying man. Did you see that? He says to her, the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. What a lovely blessing that is, isn't it? What a lovely blessing. It's almost picturing God almost as a mother hen who takes her chicks and just gathers them together and protects them with her wing. And you find that picture coming up. Jesus sent about Jerusalem. How long have I longed to gather you together? And it occurs in the Psalms in some places. It was first spoken by Boaz. And he has this idea of God as that loving father who will just gather his people. That loving mother hen. He's a generous man. He gives a generous amount to Ruth, doesn't he? I think there's an amount that he gives her, and it's actually, it would have been difficult for her to have carried so much hope. in terms of what he gave her. So we're seeing this picture of Boaz, and we're seeing the providence of God. And things go on, and we get to the end of chapter 2, and we're going into chapter 3. And in the beginning of chapter 3, Naomi has a plan. Naomi has a plan because she's got this thing in her mind. And she starts telling Ruth about this plan. And it's a little bit like Mission Impossible. What Ruth has to do is sneak into the barn and sort of insert herself under the corner of Boaz's blanket. Now, this isn't the sort of advice that a mother should be giving her daughter-in-law, really, is it? We're on dodgy ground here, aren't we? It's a risky plan, isn't it? You don't quite know what's going to happen. What if Ruth got the wrong person? What if Boaz wasn't the sort of person that Naomi thought he was? Well, this is a calculated plan, and it depended on Naomi's assessment of Boaz, what he was like, his character, what evidence he had already given of that character. But also, there was a secret ingredient. But despite all that, Ruth needed courage. That would have taken a lot of bravery, wouldn't it? To go into a strange barn, in effect to a stranger, and carry out this plan. But the secret ingredient, what's that? What do we mean? Well, it's the kindness of the law again. The kindness of the law, because the law makes a provision for something called the kinsman redeemer. We see it in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25, where a family member has a right to buy back family property. So what that means is if someone in the family had to sell their property because they've fallen on hard times, another family member can buy it back. Now, so that's one area of the what's called the kinsman redeemer. Someone who buys back something that had had to be sold. Another area is if a family member had fallen on such hard times that they'd actually had to, in a sense, sell their labor and become a bonded servant, a slave, as it would have been in those days. The family member has the right to buy them out of slavery, to pay back on their behalf. So this is a powerful idea. And it's in this law of God, we have the law of the kinsman redeemer, the buying back. But there's also another aspect of the law that's going to be in operation right now. But it's in Deuteronomy chapter 25, and it's called the law of Levirate marriage. And Levirate doesn't actually relate to Leviticus or the Levites. Levirate is a Latin word that's sort of come down to us. And what it means, it just means brother marriage. And what happens is if one brother marries a woman, but that brother dies, then she can request the next brother along, if you like, to marry her, to preserve the inheritance of the first brother. So this is all about Israelites preserving their inheritance in the land. And this was going to work in Naomi's favour. And Boaz seems to completely understand what's going on. He understands what he has to do. And he says, I'm going to see about this in the morning, but there's a flaw in the plan. There's a flaw in the plan. And the flaw is this. There's someone who is closer in relationship terms to Elimelech than Boaz, and he has first right as the kinsman redeemer. Now, it all hangs on this. That man has the right to buy the land and potentially also to marry Ruth to maintain Elimelech's line. What's going to happen? Well, if you read chapter 4, there's a court battle. We've got everything in this story, haven't we? There's a court battle. Boaz has to go to court. And what it is in those days, he goes to the gate and he sits down and he sees the other potential kinsman redeemer coming through the gate and he says, come alongside, sit down. And he gets some of the elders of the town of Bethlehem together, and they form the witnesses of the court. So there's quite a lot of drama, because the first thing that Boaz talks about is the land. And the other kinsman redeemer says, yes, I'll buy the land. Oh dear, that plan isn't going. Naomi's plan isn't going quite to plan. So then Boaz says, but there's also the case that Ruth is looking for a husband. So the person who buys the land has to marry Ruth. And the man says, no, I can't do that. That would affect my own luck. That would disrupt my own inheritance. You marry Ruth. You buy the land. So it all comes right in the end. The law works. Ruth marries Boaz. And they have a son, Obed. And we think, that's a wonderful little story. What's it in the Bible for? It just illustrates the operation of the law, the kindness of the law. But then we understand, Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. This is part of the line of David. This is part of the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is foreign, migrant, the pagan worshipper becomes part of the line of the Lord Jesus. So it's a harvest story. It's the reality of life, isn't it? Famine, migration, death and loneliness, bitterness and depression, grief, poverty, but also kindness. Kindness of Ruth to Naomi in saying, I'll come with you. You won't be on your own. I'll stick by you, whatever. The kindness of Boaz to Ruth. The kindness of the law of God. God's providence at work. It's almost like a case study of how these things should work. So we've got in Ruth, the pagan who became a believer. She's a model of loyalty and courage, who became part of the lineage of David and of Christ. We've got Boaz, a model of a godly man living in accordance with God's law. Nathan was talking in a sermon recently about God's people living in God's land, God's place, God's land, under God's law. And this is the picture. Boaz is a godly man, God's man, living in God's land, the promised land, in accordance with God's law, under God's law. And he gives us a picture of the kinsman redeemer. And the kinsman redeemer points us to Christ. So this is a harvest story that points to Christ. Christ, the kinsman redeemer. The one who is our brother and yet pays the price for us. So just to finish, two verses from the New Testament. In him, that's Christ, we have redemption. We have been redeemed by our kinsman redeemer. Not by money, but by his blood, to obtain for us the forgiveness of sins. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have been redeemed. So the harvest story that has the kinsman redeemer in it points to Christ, the one who has redeemed us. It's a lovely little story. We've had to go through it very, very quickly, but it's only four chapters. So perhaps you want to have a little bit more of a look at those chapters. There's lots of lovely little details in there, which we didn't get a chance to talk about. But it's a lovely picture of the model, if you like, of the law in operation, making a difference in people's lives, of people living under God's law and enjoying his blessing, but pointing us forward in time to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the benefit and blessing to us, isn't it? That we live and we look back on these things, but knowing that these things have a momentous significance for us as believers, for Christ is our kinsman redeemer.